Let's talk some footy again. 1-300-736-736, the open line for Werribee Kia. And Terry Wallace to join me, AFL Nation commentator for Illusion Gas Log Fires, clearing all current stock right now. IllusionFires.com. Welcome to you, Terry. Great to have you back on.
G'day, Dwayne. It's the only thing keeping us sane, the football, but we don't even know whether that's keeping us sane with all the changes going on there as well.
Absolutely, and I'm not sure what we're going to get tonight even. I don't know what kind of Collingwood we're going to get. I didn't know last night before the start of the game what kind of Geelong I was going to get. I thought I'd get a lot better Brisbane than that, but they were pretty good except for one quarter where they were blown away. So the footy's been extremely watchable, I've got to say, Terry, because you just don't know what's happening when you turn the telly
on. Yeah, exactly right. And obviously the factor of all these games being on neutral venues sort of makes it even more difficult to sort of know what you're going to get. It's an issue at the moment for Brisbane. The two times that they've played away from their home ground, the Gabba, they've lost both of the games. I mean, I know that two good sides that they played, you know, Hawthorn beat them in round one and now the Cats. But it's something they've got to deal with. I mean, if they're going to be at top of the ladder, so only last that they were favourites for the flag, you've got to be able to play at your home deck, and they haven't yet proved that they can do that consistently.
Yeah, they've got the Giants at Giants Stadium next week as well, so they're going to get a little test there.
No doubt they will, but gee, the Cats were good. So admirably by Paddy Dangerfield, Tommy Hawkins, you know, continues just to play really good football, and you know, he was a monster down forward that they struggled with. And I heard one of your listeners earlier on in the program sort of talking about Sam Mangola and how good he's been for them as well. And you know, certainly he was exactly that again last night.
Yeah, it's funny. Sometimes you read articles and you wonder whether it's an opinion or whether it's propaganda or what is behind it and the reason why. I remember reading a couple of articles in the Adelaide paper and I think one of them was from an ex-Crow, suggesting the Adelaide Crows would be better without Patrick Dangerfield, without being so Patrick Dangerfield-centric and relying on him. But his leadership last night was exceptional again. And, you know, he doesn't kick as many goals as he would like, especially from 45 perhaps, but the way he plays the game, he is always a threat. Even if he's not having a great game, to have a great 5 minutes, he's a threat in the middle. He's a threat if you push him forward. He's a threat to generate something from defence as well for you. So, and some of his passing last night was absolutely exceptional. So you've got to take
him. Yeah, the one around his body, Dwayne, where he came out of the stoppage around his body on his left foot where he hit Gary Rowan on the chest. It was unbelievable, to be honest. I mean, his dynamics is the thing that sets him apart. He's very Chris Judd-like in the way that he can actually burst away from contest. And there's only, you know, the real exceptional players who can turn inside football to outside footy. And he's one of those. Juddy was one of those. But they are very few and far between.
And who'll finish higher on the ladder between those two that you saw last night? Brisbane Lions or Geelong, Terry?
Look, I'd still say the Lions. I know that Geelong give them a nice old touch-up. And the only reason I'm saying that is that I get the sense that they'll get more home opportunities than what Geelong will with just everything that's going on. So, now Geelong, it was a really important game for Geelong because it's not going to be easy going to Perth. I mean, obviously, you've got Collingwood who are going to be desperate across there. You're going to have West Coast on their home deck. Fremantle should be able to get over the line against Frio, but it's on their home deck. So yeah, that'll be a tricky little time for them over in Perth. So it was a really important win. But look, I'm not throwing the Brisbane Lions out off one effort. They looked like they were in control of the game for a good passage. And they looked shell-shocked, didn't they? I mean, when Geelong did get on that run, it was almost like, this is not happening to us. And they didn't handle that situation, the occasion, very well at all. And I think they'll be better for having that experience last night.
So tonight, what do you think will happen, Terry? Do you think Mason Cox will take a couple of really big marks and kick three? What do you think might happen?
Well, it'll be interesting because you'll get Ben McAvoy, I think, and the whole McAvoy. So everyone's talking about Cox, but everyone's been talking about McAvoy as well. And McAvoy was fantastic 2 weeks ago when he had Benny Brown, who's more your ruckman type. And then last week, they had to get him out of there because he had Himmelberg last week, and Himmelberg was turning him inside out, just having too much flexibility for him. This time around, he'll get Cox, which I think will really suit him. You know, that ruckman type sort of suits him far more. So he won't get it all his own way, Mason Cox, against the likes of Benny McAvoy. So I expect that to be the matchup that'll be really interesting. I think the Hawks can take it up to Collingwood tonight. They just look a little unsteady at the moment. The Pies have lost a few, but when you're saying that, I mean, you've got the class out of Hawthorn with Bruce out a week ago, and now obviously Burgoyne, missing this week. So, both are missing some real genuine class in it. But I see it as being a pretty even contest between the two.
How good are St Kilda? They'll win this weekend, but how good are they? Are they going to be the big riser?
I think that they've got the capability of being. I mean, I think they're probably still a season away from being really serious about what they're doing. And it's been credit to them regardless, because they brought in 6 to 7 new players into the lineup. Obviously, the ones that come through the trade period from other clubs. But then, you bring King into the mix, who didn't play at all last year. The change-up for them and to be able to do what they're doing, I think they've done a pretty fair job. I'm really liking the development of some of their backs in Caulfield, Long, Clark, Patton. Those guys have sort of added another layer of depth apart from the guys that obviously they brought from other clubs. The interesting one this week will be, who does Geary go to? I mean, they set him last week and he got the job done against Doherty playing as that sort of defensive forward. I'm looking at him probably going to Wilson, or do they just lock him onto Walters as being such a key player? I know you did that game last week and Walters virtually didn't have a touch. I think he got 2 touches at half time, and Buddy was the one who really turned the game.
Yeah, absolutely, he was. Hey, West Coast, they'll make the 8. Come the end of it. They're outside of it now, and they won't even be in the 8 if they beat Adelaide this weekend. What did you make of the Riley O'Brien accidental tweet and the apology? And what did you make of the assessment? Did you think there is a headline in the West Australian today talking about whether there's a hint of reality in the assessment for Nick Natanui, that maybe he isn't fit enough and he doesn't work hard enough?
I find him a burst player, the way that he plays his game. I mean, he's not the endurance runner. We're just talking about Ben McAvoy. I mean, Ben McAvoy run all day. You put him out there, he's like the biggest marathon runner you've ever seen. But that's not Natanui's go. Natanui is a repeat 20-metre sprint type player, and that's the way that he plays his football. So he's never going to be endurance, big numbers, and doing what, say, a Grundy does as an extra midfielder. But he's still, his value is enormous. I loved it, just for the fact that it just puts some spice into what doesn't look a really particularly sexy game otherwise. It just adds another layer to it. But the one thing that I did like about West Coast last week, I thought their youngsters, their young key forwards in Waterman and Oscar Allen really showed some genuine talent. They've just got to keep playing those guys now. Kennedy hasn't got that long to go. I think Oscar Allen in particular is a prodigious talent for the future. It was Nat Nui and Yo that got them up and running last week. So if Nick Nat can do what he did last week, he'll certainly be a handful for Riley O'Brien. But, I enjoyed it. Just on the Adelaide for 2 seconds, they're just not getting enough out of their senior brigade. So I'm talking about Brody Smith, Rory Laird, obviously the Crouch boys, Sloan, Lynch, Boudet. Those guys have just got to give them a little bit more. We know they're going to play a lot of kids, and they've brought in young Andrew McPherson from Woodville, West Torrens. This week, they're going to continue to roll through the kids to see exactly what they've got on their list in the back half of the year. But, gee, they don't get more out of those senior boys. They're going nowhere in a hurry.
No, it's a bit of laughter in SA. I think he's from the heart of Port Adelaide. McPherson is from Port Districts. You can't get any more Port Adelaide than that. So hopefully he does have a good game. You were ahead of the game, speaking of the game, last week on this show. Here's you on Monday, Terry, talking about the Demons and Wiedemann and Bennell and Jetta. Here's Terry Wallace on this program Monday.
You've got Wiedemann and Brown, who both have been kicking goals in scratch matches, who they don't play. So I just think that they've got to have a look at that. They've got to at least try to bring in another key position player to be able to at least assist Tom McDonald with some of that aerial work. Two of their better ball users at the football club are not getting a game because of effort-based things that they've got to work on, and that's Fennell and Jetta are two of their better ball users. So they've chosen, even though they've had the same problem of ball use for 18 months, that they've chosen the effort-based to be more important in their selection criteria than necessarily ball use.
Well, that was you Monday, Terry, and I had a look last night at team selection, and there it was, in Bennell, Jetta, Wiedemann, and Oscar McDonald.
Well, to be honest, off the back of that, I'm actually selecting them, Dwayne. I just think that it looks better. It just looks a better balanced team. I mean, I just haven't liked the balance of the side over the early part of the season. I really just couldn't understand. The Bennell thing really surprised me. He had 14 possessions in round two, selected in round three. So they thought what he did in round two was good enough. But then all of a sudden, you know, the word out of Melbourne was that, you know, he had to work on his defensive aspects of his game, and that wasn't good enough yet. It was good enough to select him in round three, but wasn't good enough to get him in round four when they didn't play a game. It didn't make a lot of sense to me at all what was coming out of there. But I just think they've got better ball users in. It should straighten them up. And I'm not saying that Wiedemann's going to be the be-all and end-all for them, but it just gives them something down the line that can at least give a contest. I mean, too often they just bomb the ball in. McDonald hasn't been in the right position, and they've just bombed the ball in. The opposition have just cut it off and sent it straight back the other direction, and it's been costing them big time. So I just think the side actually looks a lot more balanced this time around. And as for the Gold Coast, their opponents, can't wait to see Isaac Rankin get his first game, a prodigious young talent. I mean, you know, we can't expect the world off him with the fact that he hasn't played for 18 months, but looking forward to that. Now, the one thing I'm looking forward to in this game is May versus Ben King, because that was the trade that got May to Melbourne, was the pick that got Ben King to the Gold Coast. So not only will we see the two in the same game, but they'll actually play on each other, which will be pretty interesting.
Yeah, nice one. Absolutely. It's a lot of intrigue in the game. If the D's do go down, I'm not sure what they do next, the Demons. Essendon and North looks like... I like the way the Bombers are playing, Terry.
So do I. Yeah, so do I. I've been a critic of their ability to defend in the past. I thought everything was coming off half-back, and you know, they played a completely different style of game to everyone else. And they've tightened that right up this year. And you know, if you can keep Collingwood to, you know, no goals in 2.5 quarters after a reasonable start from the Pies last week, they've certainly tightened it up. And people have sort of said it's based on pressure. Well, it is, but because their defensive aspect of the game is better, opposition sides are not being able to cut through them as easily. So therefore, you've got the ball in a region, so you can pressure more. You know? So, I mean, one goes with the other, and yeah, they're looking pretty good, I thought. Dylan Shield's an interesting one. There's a lot of people in this industry that look for what people can't do rather than what they can do. And you know, the amount of times I've heard people talk about Dylan Shield, he doesn't use the ball well enough. Boy, oh boy, he carries the ball for that football club. And now with McKenna and Merritt back in, I know Stringer's out, but yeah, they're looking pretty good. They're looking pretty good. And North were a bit of a worry last week. They looked banged up with their older blokes. They still were so reliant on their old blokes to really impact, like Goldie and Higgins and Tarrant have to always have that high-end games. Simpkins, the young player that I'm really enjoying his footy, but their players from the age bracket of, say, 23 to 27 just don't cut it with the better teams in the competition in that age bracket. They've got some really good young kids, North, and some really good older blokes, but the age bracket that actually probably more often wins your games than not, they're not as strong as some.
We talked about it a bit, about kicking and turning the ball over, and Tom Rockliffe might be a completely different set of circumstances, but it does boil back to the fact that it's not just about getting the ball, it's what you do with the ball, and it's also what you do when you haven't got the ball. Tom Rockliffe is Port Adelaide's second highest possession winner for the year, and he's been getting some high possession numbers the last 3 or 4 weeks as well. But and his efficiency numbers say that he's... Well, his efficiency with his 102 possessions is 71%. Travis Boak, the number one for possessions at Port, 120 possessions is 69%. Ollie Wines' efficiency is below Tom Rockliffe at 64%. But Tom Rockliffe has been dropped this week.
Yeah, sometimes the efficiency rating can be a little tricky as well. And I heard you speaking about all this earlier on today as well, because if you play safe, your efficiency rating will be higher. Now, Tom Rockliffe, normally his presentation of kicking is, you know, 30-35 metre chip kicks is the way that he normally plays the game. So he's going to have a higher efficiency rating than some of the others because he doesn't carry the ball and he doesn't take as much risk as what some of the others are. So I'm not shocked that he's out of the side. I just thought, because I thought there was one other part of the equation as well. When Ollie Wines come back in and all of a sudden they have Ollie Wines, Powell Pepper, Rockliffe all going through the middle, it's actually taking blokes who have got some zip and spark about them, like Rosie, out of the equation that sees them up in a way. There aren't too many of that type in the mix, which is a bit of the Adelaide Crows problem, obviously, with the two Crouch boys at Sloan as well. So I'm not surprised that he come out of there.
Terry Ollis with us for a McCafe coffee catch-up and also for Illusion Gas Log Fires. Illusion Gas Log Fires clearing all current stock right now. Richmond made a few changes. We don't know if all of those ins will be ins, but they've looked at making a few changes for the game against Sydney. Tom Lynch is going to play. Jack Rewald's going to lead them.
Have we ever had so many hyphens coming in 1 week? Three hyphenated names into the in column. So obviously Coleman Jones, Collier Dawkins, Egg Malefi Smith. It sounds like there's about six players just in that lot.
Traditionally, that was Melbourne from the 70s, wasn't it? Weren't they accused of having the hyphens? hopefully they go all right. Coleman Jones is an interesting one for me because he's a big unit. He played well in you would have seen the reserves finals last year. Terry, he provided a really good presence for them in that reserves final series. I know he's played one game already, but it'll be interesting to see whether he's become a little better this year.
Yeah, he can clunk a mark too. I watched him with interest up in Wangaratta in the pre-season game up there, and he was pretty good that day. Look, it'll be really fascinating, this game against Sydney. I mean, Sydney are a lot more settled, but they're really small because they've got all their rucks and their key forwards out at the moment. We saw last week for Richmond, I actually thought bringing Arts in for his first game, Choll and Bolter, actually assisted them. They just look sharper, hungrier than some of the blokes that they had in there previously. Because, I mean, those blokes are wanting to be a part of the finals campaign and do what the other blokes around the football club have done. So some of these other boys, we know them all. I mean, every name that's been all of the nine names, players certainly that were a part of that VFL premiership side and have either had opportunity or been close to opportunity. So it's just whether there's too many of them in the one side. But, I think they'll be really hungry. And I won't be surprised if we get... You probably recall the game last year where they played Port Adelaide when everyone was out and did a number of Port Adelaide over in Adelaide. And I won't be surprised if we get that sort of result out of them again.
What about Carlton, the Bulldogs? Terry, what do you make of Carlton? Have they been sort of unlucky? I'm still trying to work my way through Carlton. They played so well. I saw them live against Geelong in Geelong, and they played some extremely good football, and I thought, gee, they might be on the rise here. And yet they've had a couple of one-point performances, so it's always hard to judge a one-point win or a one-point loss because you can be the worst team and still win, or you can be the best team and still lose.
Yeah, I'm not off them yet. I mean, I don't expect them to be, you know, a high-end side in this season. But I've heard a fair bit of criticism off the back of, you know, the last week, and they were terrible last week. The St Kilda game, no excuse, poor game. We should see a reaction to that poor game that we see so often with sides. So I'm expecting them to come back and hit pretty hard. Essendon victory now looks very good. Geelong victory looks very good. What gave Melbourne a start and was the better side for, you know, 2.5 to 3 quarters, but just couldn't catch them, couldn't round them in. And were pretty reasonable against Richmond, apart from the early part of that game as well. So, I mean, they're just going to get their starts right. I mean, they've given away two resounding losses early in the first couple of rounds, and then just didn't get themselves in the hunt at all last week. So get their starts right. And I'm not as harsh on them as what some other people are, but they want to be good because the Bulldogs are playing really good football. And, you know, they've had, what, 39, 38 and 33 points scored against them the last three games. So they're pretty stingy. They support their back line extremely well through the middle of the ground. And with Tim English, you know, getting back, he really does sort of play almost like an extra centre-half back in the old-fashioned term. So they want to be good to be able to get over the Doggies. But if anyone remembers the games last year, they were really tight games, both of them. And the duel that I'm looking forward to is Cripps and Bontempelli. I hope they do go head-to-head because last year they won all. And Cripps got Bont the first time around and gave him a little bit of a touch-up, and Bont went straight to him the next time and turned it back the other direction. So I'm hoping we might get duel number three.
I hope so. And number three of, you know, 15 of them. Hey, before I let you go, Terry, with the Tigers, I mentioned yesterday, to me, I look at Jack Riewoldt's comments a little differently to most. I see him as he's a paid media performer or person these days. AFL 360 pay him, SEN pay him. He's got his own podcast. He's launched a great media career. He's not stupid. He knows the things that he says will get replayed and used as talkback fodder and get on the news. And I'm not suggesting that he says things for publicity. His honesty is his weapon. That's the reason why he's going to have a good media career, because his honesty is absolutely fantastic. But I know that some people like Mark Robinson and Jared Waitley have come out and said, lay off Jack. But Jack knows what Jack's doing, doesn't he? Everybody's going to be watching Jack to see how he leads now and how he responds. That's the beauty of this whole circus that I think he enjoys being part of.
And we'll all be tuning in on a Monday night when he does his new show to sort of see exactly what he does say. To be honest, I don't get too involved in it. He said what a lot of the other blokes would be saying behind closed doors. There's no doubt that there'll be players who'll be missing families and kids. And
that's the issue. Should a leader say it? Should a leader say it publicly? That's the issue more so than...
Look, I'm a little bit old school because, I think there's no problem with him being able to say that, deal with it, and then be able to go out and perform at the absolute levels. I think he's senior enough to be able to compartmentalise one from the other. But whether, you know, a 20-year-old kid who's running alongside of him can do exactly the same, that's, I think, where some people were coming from. I'm a little bit more, we want to hear from them, allow them to have their say, and let's just get on with it.
Great stuff, Terry. Always good to talk to you, and we'll talk again Monday. I can't wait.
Yep, can't wait. And, you know, good luck with your footy teams over the weekend, everyone.
Terry Wallace, AFL Nation commentator, and Jack Riewoldt's Tiger Time. Let's give it a plug. 6 p.m. Monday here on SEN. So 6 p.m. Mondays on SEN. Jack Riewoldt's Tiger Time. He's not stupid. He knows what he's doing, and let's hope he captains the team brilliantly this weekend. We'll take a break. Plenty still to come, including Rory Laird from the Adelaide Crows and your calls. 1-300-736-736. Don't forget, you can listen to This Is Your Sporting Life on Sunday from 10. Sam Edmund talks to former Australian cricketer Ian Healy. Thanks to Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating life.